I'm honored to stand before you this morning to speak on behalf of my sister Dorothy. And my plans are to give a Reader's Digest version of her life, and then Brother Brett is going to turn more to the Scripture than I will. But at this time, would you please bow with me and let's pray to God at this time. Our gracious, righteous Lord of heaven and earth, we humble ourselves before you, the true living God. We acknowledge that you are the creator and sustainer of all life. You give life and you take life. And Holy Father, we humble ourselves before you, knowing that one day we will stand before you in judgment. Holy Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our only hope, our Savior. We're thankful, Father, for the great sacrifice the Lord made for us. We're thankful that He overcame death by His own resurrection to give us the hope, Father, also of a resurrection and eternal life. Holy Father, we thank you for Dorothy and for the privilege of having her in our lives. And we pray, Father, that you would bless her memory. And we pray that you would bless all of us today with wisdom to build one another up and or encourage one another in your ways. Bless this, the words that are spoken on this occasion, if it be thy will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dorothy Elizabeth Batty Nichols was born on a Saturday, March the 14th, 1959 at 2:44 in the morning in Hobbs, New Mexico. She weighed 9 pounds, 2.5 ounces, was 20 inches long, half grown from birth, they would say. I didn't know Dorothy at that time. It would be 14 months later before I would know her. But when she first met me, she welcomed me with open arms. And there's an old picture that can prove that. Our parents were the late George F. Batty Sr. and Dorothy Alice Webb Smith. Dorothy and I have a half-sister who's unable to be here today. Her name is Irene Sanders, and we just called her Renee. We did not know at that time that Renee was just a half-sister. To us, she was just our sister. And that's the way it always would be. Mama kept a baby book and wrote things in it about Dorothy, and I found that book, at least a copy of it, and Mama wrote that Dorothy was born with a head full of blonde hair, and she would always have a head full of hair until her cancer treatment took that possession away. Her hair hung down past her knees before she was sick. Mama wrote that Dorothy walked first with help at 6.5 months old, and ironically, the last 6.5 months of her life, she had to have help to walk. Her first sickness was the 3-day measles when she was 6 months old. Dorothy seemed to be sick a lot. When she was in the 7th grade, as far as I can remember, she did not go to school, not one day that whole 7th year, as I recall, because she was sick. She did her work at home. When Dorothy was little, her favorite rhyme Mother wrote was this: "I'm a cute little girl with a cute little figure. Stand back, boys, till I get a little bigger." Dorothy's first boyfriend was Tom Epperson. He was the smart kid that lived down on the corner. He wore glasses. And I'm sorry to tell Brad that he was really a second choice for Dorothy. Dorothy and I share the same memories in our early childhood. We both remember the very exact address of our first house we lived in, 1306 South Morris, Hobbs, New Mexico, 88240. How in the world can I remember that? I can't even remember what happened last week, but I, for some reason, she and I both remember things like that. We would go home to on Thanksgiving and Christmas, either to Winters, Texas, or to Lubbock, Texas, and we would be with our friends and relatives for the holidays. In our early years, Mama would line us all up on the couch, and she would read to us from a Bible storybook, and we learned to believe in God and Jesus. And we were taught that the Bible was the rule book that we were supposed to be going by. We were taught in those early years that drinking and cursing were sins. Mama told us that taking God's name in vain was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And she said, if you ever did that, there was no forgiveness for that. Now, she was wrong, but that's what she taught us. And that's what we learned growing up. We were taught that smoking was wrong, even though Daddy smoked. And even though we all knew smoking was wrong, Dorothy and I took turns rolling Daddy's cigarettes so it would save him a little bit of money. Mom and Daddy took us to the Church of Christ on Dal Paso Street in Hobbs, New Mexico. It was a congregation of the Church of Christ that used individual communion cups, but had no Sunday school classes. Daddy did not believe in Bible classes. In 1968, at a Wednesday night service, Dorothy was baptized. She was only 9 years old at that time. I believe my Uncle C.W. Batty was the one who baptized her. But later in life, she realized that she was not an accountable person at age 9. And so she was baptized as an adult, a believing adult, accountable. And Brother Buddy Johnson was the one who baptized her in 1979 when she was 20. The first 11 years of Dorothy's life was a stable life spent in one town. But 1970 would bring instability. In the late spring of 1970, Daddy decided that we should move to Victoria, Texas and live close to Uncle C.W. And so we packed up and moved right in the middle of the school year. That was the first of many moves. And it was every time we moved, every single time we moved, it was always in the middle of school. 6 months after we had moved to Victoria in the middle of the school year, we packed up again and we left Victoria and we moved up to Albuquerque where we would live close to Uncle Lewis Batty. We moved all around the Albuquerque area. We started in Albuquerque proper and then eventually we moved to Tijeras Canyon to the east and then Peralta to the south. When we lived in Peralta, that's where Dorothy was entered in high school and graduated from Las Lunas High School. And she did very well. Brad and I can't remember if she was the valedictorian. I can remember my first address, but I can't remember whether Dorothy was a valedictorian or not. I think she may have been. In 1970, when we first came to Albuquerque, we did not find a congregation of the Church of Christ that did not use Sunday school classes. And Daddy was strongly opposed to Bible classes. And so, he was so opposed to Bible classes that he decided it'd be better not to go anywhere as to go where there were Bible classes. And so we just didn't go to church for many months, over a year. Sunday became just like another Saturday. And so every week was like we had two Saturdays in it. And Sunday was no longer a day for worship. It was just another day to not go to school. But by chance one time, Daddy learned that there was a little congregation in Albuquerque, that was meeting in a residential section of town. It had no Sunday school classes, but all of the members drank out of one communion cup when they ate the Lord's Supper, just like Jesus and the apostles did in Mark chapter 14, verse 23. Yikes. Drinking out of one cup. That scared me. How weird that was, I thought. The congregation was small. It was composed primarily of two families, the Irwin Hale family and the Buddy Johnson family. And we visited that little congregation, but it would be a while before we would start attending on a regular basis. It took several visits from Brother Buddy Johnson to our house before Daddy was finally convicted enough to begin attending regularly. That was our beginning at worshiping at a congregation that worshiped exactly like you can read in your Bible. In teen years, Dorothy did a lot of cooking for our family. One evening she made meatloaf. Now, it's my opinion that meatloaf comes in two varieties. Very, very good, or very, very bad. Nothing in between. And on this particular evening, Dorothy's meatloaf was of the very, very bad variety. It was awful. And I made the mistake of dipping up an extra large portion. What was I to do? Well, when Dorothy looked over at the TV, I jumped up and I rummaged through the cabinet right quick and I got a sandwich bag. And when she looked at the TV again, I shoveled my hot meatloaf into my sandwich bag and held it under the table. And I was going to throw it away first chance I got. But that meatloaf was too hot for the sandwich bag, and it melted through the bag and fell all over the floor. And how was I going to explain this mess to Dorothy now? But thankfully, she got up and went into the living room, and she watched TV in there, and I was able to clean up that mess without her ever knowing about it. And to my knowledge, she never knew about that incident. 1975 would prove to be the most fateful year of our lives. That was the year that our parents divorced one another. Earlier that year, a preacher from Michigan had come to begin working with our congregation where we attended. And before long, a romance had developed between this preacher and Mama. Mama left Daddy on November the 7th, 1975. Daddy was accusing Mama of committing adultery, but Mama denied that to the very day that she died. I went to Texas to live with Mama, and Dorothy stayed home with Daddy. The next year, on August the 25th, Mama married the preacher that had dashed our hopes that Mama and Daddy could ever get back together again one day. A few years ago, after Mama had died, this former preacher called both Dorothy and me on the telephone, and he confessed that he and Mother did commit adultery when Mama was married to Daddy in 1975. And he said he felt like the Holy Spirit was leading him to call and make this confession on the phone. When Mama had remarried, Dorothy and I both knew that was wrong. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, He said, "I say unto you that whosoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Well, my mama did not divorce my daddy because he had committed adultery. In fact, Mama was the guilty party. The New Testament teaches there's consequences to our actions. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 teaches that when a member of the church becomes immoral, we are not to keep company with them. We are not to eat with them, especially the Lord's Supper. And because Mama never relinquished, there would be little or no contact or association between us for the rest of our lives. And I tell this part of the story not to bash my mother. I'm telling it for three reasons. Number one, I'm telling it because nothing impacted our lives more than that divorce of our mother and father. Number two, I'm telling it because there's some of you who are associating with people in the church, their friends and their relatives, and you love them, but you ought not to be associating with them because they fall in that same 1 Corinthians 5 verse 11 category. And you need to cut those people off like that. That passage means something. And Dorothy did what the Bible said. And number three, I tell this part of the story because of how Dorothy reacted. While many people would have quit the church because the preacher was immoral, Dorothy didn't. How many times do people say, "I'm not going to that church over there because there's hypocrites there"? A lot of people make that excuse, and Dorothy could have made that excuse. And unfortunately, there are hypocrites in the church. But you know, there was Judas also among the apostles. And thankfully, the Lord and the other apostles didn't quit because a hypocrite was in their midst. And in spite of hypocrites being in the church sometimes, the Bible teaches that the church was in the eternal purposes of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The church is the Lord's bride. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. The Lord shed His blood for the church, according to Ephesians 5, 25. And when the church comes, or when the Lord comes again, He's going to save the members of His church, is who He's going to save, according to Ephesians 5, verse 23. And so Dorothy believed these things, and she was baptized into the body of Christ. in spite of bad examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Dorothy now was going to learn how to live life without Mama. She found others that would fill that void. She moved to the Dallas area in 1978, I believe, was the year that she moved there. And there she began to attend the Arlington congregation. Arlington at that time met on the Woodrow Street. And those of you who have been there, you know you had to want to go there to find it. It was next to impossible to find. But that's where she went to church, and all of Dorothy's friends were church members. She met Charlene Schaefer, and they shared an apartment together. John and Luvella Spradley soon became Dorothy's adopted parents. Her friends became lifelong friends. Lifelong. Terry Rowe, Hans and Evelyn Rudeschild, Reggie Spradley, Gary Robinson, Charles Marsh, and Joy Keel. When Joy Keel got married, she asked Dorothy to be her bridesmaid. Maid of honor. Excuse me, I didn't get that right. She was the maid of honor, and at the wedding, that's where Dorothy met Brad Nichols for the first time. Dorothy and Brad soon were engaged, and they asked me to perform their marriage ceremony, which occurred on December the 25th, 1982, and they were married in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the 11th Street Congregation. Dorothy confided in me later she regretted getting married on December the 25th because from then on, every time that it came their anniversary, they couldn't do anything. Everything was closed down, and they just had to sit at home. Kids would come after Brad and Dorothy had moved to Georgia. First, there was David Nichols, born in 1988, 2 days after Dorothy's own birthday. In 1992, Jason was born. In 1994, Carlene was the last to be born to this family. Brad and Dorothy decided to homeschool their families, or their children. Dorothy appeared to me to be the chief administrator of this school system, and I think she did a very good job. She taught the kids how to read and write, how to add and subtract, at least good enough so that every single one of them were able to go to college and graduate. They went on countless field trips together. Church was the center of life. When Brad and Dorothy lived in Georgia, I lived there at the same time. And Brad and Dorothy traveled to Jonesboro when it was time to worship. And they would travel 2 times a week. From their house to the Jonesboro church building was 46 miles. Took over an hour to drive that. And they came every Sunday morning. They stayed all day, attended the afternoon service, and would go home. On Wednesday night, they were there every single Wednesday night. During a gospel meeting, they came every single night to the gospel meeting. When Dorothy was signed up on the cleaning schedule, she would come every week and clean the building. And so their kids learned that church was the most important thing in life. Dorothy would take the kids to gospel meetings, young people's meetings, they're sometimes called. And she wanted her kids in the church. And she took them so they would associate with other church members. In 1996, Dorothy and Brad moved from Georgia to Missouri to be closer to Brad's family. Dorothy would always talk about the folks. The folks. Earlene and Nelson didn't have names anymore. They were just kind of lumped together, and they were just always called the folks. And that's who Dorothy was talking about when she talked about the folks. After the kids were grown and tending to themselves, Dorothy became involved in the Tea Travelers and also the Project Linus organization. On June 16th, 2009, Dorothy called to tell me that she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And again, her world would change and never be the same after that. Dorothy's struggle with cancer would continue for just a little over 5 years. She had surgery. She took chemotherapy and radiation. She lost all of that beautiful hair that she had. She struggled with the medications and all of the side effects. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 29, "So Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people." Well, that's what happened to Dorothy on August the 29th, one day before Mama's birthday. She breathed her last and died and was gathered to her people. When I reflect on Dorothy's life, here are some things that I will remember about Dorothy, and you will too if you knew her very well. I never heard Dorothy sing, not even in private. I would sit right beside her sometimes in church, and I would look over there at her, and her lips would be moving, but I never heard a sound coming out of her lips. She sang very, very softly. But even though she sang softly, she had a very loud speaking voice. And you could hear her loud and clear. And she did not know how to speak in hushed tones. You knew when Dorothy was talking. Dorothy wasn't a reader. I never remember her sitting down with a book to read a book. She never smoked, not one puff of a cigarette. She never drank alcohol, not a single drop that I know of. I never heard Dorothy say a single curse word. Not even in her last days when she wasn't thinking so clearly anymore. She never uttered one curse word her whole life that I ever heard. She was a virgin when she married, and she stayed pure her whole life long. She never spoke in church services, not even to lead a prayer, because the Bible teaches that women are to remain silent in the church. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. And we believe that the Bible means what it says. But even though she never spoke in church, never led a prayer in church, she still prayed. And she still taught people, even though she couldn't speak publicly, she taught them privately at home, like the Bible teaches in Acts 18, 26. She never cut her hair. She never trimmed it, not even a little bit, after she was baptized, because that's what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 15. Dorothy was baptized by Brother Buddy Johnson, and after she was baptized, to my knowledge, she never wore a pair of slacks ever again. She was always cooking food and taking it to others who were sick or shut in, like Matthew 25 and 35 speaks of. She was always quilting, sewing, crocheting, and knitting for others, like Tabitha in Acts chapter 9, verse 39. Those are some of the things that I will remember about my sister for the rest of my life. Dorothy was a good example in all of the roles that she played. She was a good and faithful wife. She was a good mother to her children. She was a good sister to me. She was a faithful member of the Lord's church. And I believe that she was the virtuous woman mentioned in Proverbs chapter 31. I will miss her greatly, and I thank the Lord that He placed her in my life.